أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا قيما لينذر بأسا شديدا من لدنه ويبشر المؤمنين الذين يعملون الصالحات أن لهم أجرا حسنا ماكثين فيه أبدا وينذر الذين قالوا اتخذ الله ولدا صدق الله العظيم. These are the opening ayats of Surah Al-Kahf. The reason that we are going to be discussing Surah Al-Kahf is because, as we will see in the different ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he discusses the merits and the virtues of Surah Al-Kahf, we will find that it is a protection from many fitnas. And the greatest of all fitnas is the fitna of Dajjal. Our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has stated that many and all the Anbiya alayhi musallatu wasallam had come down. And no Nabi had not warned his people about the fitna of Dajjal, which means that every Nabi had warned his people about the fitna of Dajjal. To this extent, we find in the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that that is the greatest trial, that is the greatest calamity that is going to befall man at the latter part of this world. Now, when we look at the merits and the virtues of Surah Al-Kahf, Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he narrates that person who memorized the first 10 verses of Surah Kahf, that person who memorizes the first 10 verses of Surah Kahf will remain protected from the ill effects of Dajjal. In another hadith, in another narration, it is stated that person who memorizes the last 10 verses of Surah Al-Kahf, that person will be saved from the fitnas of Dajjal. Then we find a hadith of Hazrat Sahal ibn Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhu that narrates from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The person who recites the first and the last verses of Surah Al-Kahf, for him there is light from his feet up to his head. And the one who were to recite the whole of Surah Kahf, then for him there is light from the earth up to the sky. Then we will find in another hadith that on the day of Jumu'ah, that person that recites Surah Al-Kahf will have a light from his feet up to the sky. The light will serve him on the day of Qiyamah, and every sin committed by him between the past and the present Jumu'ah will be forgiven by Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Then we find Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrating, the one who recites Surah Kahf on the day of Jumu'ah will remain protected from every fitna. And if, perchance, Dajjal appears in that period, then the person will be safe against the challenging trials that will be released by Dajjal also. So we find that in these ahadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had warned us about the fitna of Dajjal, number one, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has also given us the protection from the fitna of Dajjal, and that is in the recitation of the surah. Now, when we look at the recitation of the surah, there is no doubt in the fact that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has spoken about the merit, about the recitation, about learning the first and the last 10 verses of Bahat. But obviously there is a message in the surah. And that message is what we are going to be exploring in the next few days to understand and to realize what are the difficulties that we face, what are the challenges that we face, and then we will realize how we need to move forward and closer towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ulama have expounded and the ulama have explained to us that one is Dajjal, the fitna of Dajjal in itself. Secondly is that there was always a preparation for the coming of Dajjal. And that preparation is from the anti-Islamic forces, the forces that what will be termed as the anti-Christ forces, the forces against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they have a very, very great preparation that they are making in order to prepare for the coming of Dajjal. Now here, when we look at the surah, we will find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us all the prescriptions in which we will be able to utilize these tools, we will be able to bring them into our lives, and inshallah, we will find that we will be able to be free and protected from the fitna of Dajjal. Now we will find one hadith that this entire surah of Surah Kahf was revealed at one time and 70,000 angels came with it, and this shows the greatness of the surah that had come down upon Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam.
Now, we had discussed in other tafsir programs also that we have what is known as shani nuzul, the reason or the backdrop or the circumstances in which a particular surah or a particular verse would be revealed upon Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So we will look very quickly at the shani nuzul or the reason of revelation of the surah, Surah Al-Kahf. And Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that the Quraysh of Makkah, after the coming of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, obviously they were disturbed by the coming of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. They also felt threatened, and the enmity for Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had grown from day to day. So they wanted to realize and understand the truth about the nubuwat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So they sent two of the men, Nadhr bin Harith and Uqba bin Abi Mu'id, to the Yahud scholars of Medina Munawwara. Their mission was to find out what they had to say about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the light of the scriptures of the past, that is the Torah and the Injil. When these gentlemen went to Medina Munawwara, they heard from the Yahud scholars that you should put three questions forward to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And if he answers these three questions correctly, and in one narration he will answer two in detail, and the one he will be very, very brief, then you should know that he is the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, on the converse, if he fails to do so, he does not answer these questions, then you should know that he is an imposter, and wana'udhu billah, he is not the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What are the three questions that you will ask him? The first is about those young men who left this city, who were men of royalty, and went out into a cave. This is a very unique event. And obviously, asking Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam about this will be the test of the truth of the nubuwat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam. Secondly, in the past, there was a person that traveled from through the east and the west of the world, and that person had been given a great amount of sovereignty by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what is the reality with that person? And the third question you will ask him is about the ruh. What is the ruh? What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speak about the ruh? And hence these Quraysh emissaries returned to Makkah Mukarramah after being informed about these questions. They came back to Makkah, they spoke to the tribesmen and explained the three questions. So these people took the questions to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard these questions. Obviously, at that point in time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not reveal anything with regards to these three questions. And hence, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, putting his yaqeen and his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that I will inform you tomorrow about it. But at that time, Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam had forgotten to say, inshaAllah. So, Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, on the one hand, he is waiting for wahi and revelation to come down from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was no wahi coming down. And on the other hand, they began to mock and scoff at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in this way, 15 days had went by, where neither Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam had come to him with any revelation to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and nor was Nabi alayhi salam in a position to inform them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallah.